God bless everyone. Isn't it great to be in here? I'm excited. I'm excited about today. Somebody asked me ahead of time, you nervous? And I let them know I get nervous every time I get up here. And I kind of like being nervous because I realize it isn't me. It's got to be God. Thank you. I'm going to call my wife up at this time and ask her to pray over me, pray over the word, that we can see what God's got for us. And one of the things that I wanted to say, and I know Aaron's all the time talking about his wife, how hot she is and all that, God has blessed me as well. Amen. And one of the other things that I really wanted to say, a lot of times wives feel like a sidekick. She's not a sidekick. She is a partner. And she partners with me in the ministry, partners with me in prayer, partners with me in Bible reading. And I really, really appreciate her. And I appreciate. And a lot of times I'm going out, going to work in the morning, and that's a blessing. I'm going to tell you what. I'm 75 years old. I get to go to work every day. And it truly is a blessing, and I thank God for it. But she walks me to the door, prays over me, and sends me on my way. Amen. So I appreciate her.
I'm not all that great. My husband over. But I want to turn your focus to the Lord this morning. We talked last week in our meeting when we were voting on the church things, things happen. And so I want you to turn your focus to him because there is a value in knowing our Savior and then knowing about him. So, and how many know that scripture that, you know, you don't want to go to heaven and they say, I don't know you. You know, so you want to make sure that you're in a relationship with him. And if you're not sure about that, if you're not sure that you are a child of God and you have a right not to hang your head low, but hang your head high when you see him, that you have a right not to hang back and stay in the back row because you are not sure, but that you have a right to run to him and love him and be with him. And so I want to encourage you that I know even when we're walking as Christians that sometimes we feel like, man, I'm just a big screw up. And I go forward 3 steps, I fall back 5, and we get discouraged. The enemy tries to tell you you're not good enough. And believe me, I've been there. I still get there at times. And then I have to walk by faith, and I have to go back to the scriptures, and I have to say, nope, I asked the Lord into my heart. It was a faith that brought me to that point. And your name is written on that list to go into the Lamb's dinner. So you need to be certain of that. If you're not, then you need to go to him and say, you know, the simple thing, when you take your trash out every day, God moved this on my heart. I shared it with my Bible group. As simple as that, you can take out your trash. It's a physical reminder that, Lord, forgive me for my sins that I've known and unknown, and help me to live in you today. And we best walk in love. So if you're a child of God and you're not loving someone, then something's not right. Because God's a God of love. And so when you're in the grocery store and you got a sour face and you're mean or whatever, that's not a God thing. That's not love. That's not walking in him. And you got a responsibility to represent him well no matter where you are. And with my husband, as wonderful as he is, sometimes I roll my eyes. You know, and I go, Lord, help me, you know, but God knows that we have weak points, we have strong points, and we walk by faith that we're his, and we go to him. I do have one more thing, Francis. I don't know if there's somebody named Francis here or someone online. Does anybody named Francis? Well, God just wants you to know that he loves you. And that he sees you, and he knows your heart, and he knows where you're at, and he's your answer. So just turn to him. Father, we turn our focus to you right now. We thank you that you loved us enough to give us away, and that even when the serpent came and deceived Adam and Eve and all of us, you know, all of that sin we were birthed into, you had a plan from the beginning, and you made a way for us through Jesus. And Lord, it's sorrowful for us that he had to go through what he did, but we are so grateful that you loved us enough to do that for us. And so, Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise, for you're the creator of heaven and earth. You're the creator of us, and you are deserving of our love and our praise. And so, Father, we come to you right now. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come. We ask that you guide my husband's heart and mine, and that you'll direct his words, and may it penetrate the hearts of the men and women and children that are still here. May it make a difference for them today, to encourage them, to uplift them, to build them, to turn them in the right way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You guys ready to have church? Yeah. Amen. That praise team was great today. Felt the Spirit. Was very honored to be able to be here with them. And wanted to say, Brother Pete, what a testimony. And I know on Friday morning, I work for the county, and I'm one of the county commissioners, and they asked that we go out with EMA and assess some of the damage that was done in Miami County. And I wasn't very far from where you live, looking at houses that roofs were gone, barns were tore down, and just a lot of damage. And I thank God that he had his hand about you. I know I was at a meeting that night, and I seen all that lightning and stuff, and I ran home as quick as I could, and my wife was in a bathroom, in our little bathroom with her, with the dog, and pillows and snacks and flashlights, and she knows how I am, so I just went right in there with her because I was scared too. No, not really. I stayed out the whole time because that's what I usually do. And but I know that I would have went in there if I thought. She said, you should get in here. And I said, no, I'm okay. And I feel okay right now. Amen. I want you to turn with me to John, the 9th chapter. A lot of us have heard this story so many times. And I've preached on it many times. I was blind, but now I see. And I know that a lot of times when we hear this and we see this, we just think, you know, what a testimony. I was blind, but now I see. But there's a story here, and you that know me and know how I preach, I like to tell stories. And if you don't believe me, come to my Bible study group on Tuesdays from 11 to 12. And being 75 years old, I think I've told, in even some of the newer ones, it's only been there a couple years, they've heard at least 50 stories. And I haven't even begun to touch on all of them yet either. But I thank God, and I thank God for what he's doing here in the church. And if you really want to get into the Old Testament, almost like a college course, looking at geography, speech, different places that people lived, and all the different things that's happening, it would just be... It's just going to be a lot of fun, and I would encourage you to come to Oasis Bible Study as well. And I taught at Sinclair for a while, and we was in one of the classes that I taught about what the difference is living in the South, living in the North, living on the West Coast, living on the East Coast, and there's just a whole lot of difference. And my wife, who grew up not very far from here, in Clark County, when she moved to North Carolina, she seen a big difference. The people were different there than what they are here. And so that has a lot to do with our Bible history as well. But I'm going to go ahead and read John 9:1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sin, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. He then spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and spread the mud over the man's blind eyes. And he told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him. This is where the story. A lot of times we don't read the rest of the story. I know Paul Harvey back for years and years and year, he would say, and now for the rest of the story. Well, we're going to hear the rest of the story today. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man that used to sit and beg? Some said he was. Others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. Then he took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them, he put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man Jesus is not from God, for he worketh on the Sabbath. Others said, but how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division in opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? The man replied, I think he must be a prophet. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see. So they called in his parents. They asked them, is this your son? Was he born blind? And if so, how can he now see? His parents replied, we know this is our son, and he was born blind. But we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He is old enough to speak for himself. Everybody say, speak for yourself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, he's old enough, ask him. For the second time they called the man who had been blind and told him, God should get glory for this because we know this man Jesus is a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner, the man replied, but I know this, I was blind and now I can see. But what did he do, they asked. How did he heal you? Look, the man explained, I told you once, didn't you listen? Why don't you want to hear it again? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. You were born a total sinner, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. Amen. I'll tell you what, that's quite a story. It really is. And I like verse 21. We don't know. The parents were afraid that they were going to get kicked out of the synagogue. They were afraid that they would be expelled. And so when it come to them to talk about him being healed, when it come to talk about them, about Jesus, they just simply said, let him speak for himself. I don't know about you, but I want to speak for myself. Hallelujah. And you know how we can speak for ourselves? Because we need to have a testimony. I'll tell you what, there's something. I'm going to preach here in a minute. You guys are, I'm getting excited about this. I really am. But in the book of Revelations, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse, it says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. It has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And talking about the devil being thrown out of heaven, Lucifer, and one-third of the angels. And it says, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. There's something about the blood. Everybody can preach about the blood. Something about the blood. Hallelujah. Pleading the blood. Declaring the blood. Having that blood applied to us. Amen. And sometimes we just stop right there. But it also goes on to say, they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. Amen. Every believer needs to have a testimony. You know what? There's been many times where someone's tried to debate me. Someone's tried to say something to me. Someone's tried to take the scriptures and use it against me. But I want you to know something today. They can't use it against my testimony. They can say whatever they want, and they can interpret this Bible any way they want, but there's something about our testimony. A testimony, if you really begin to think about it, a testimony will stand because it's what I feel. It's what I know. It's what God has given to me. I have a testimony. Amen. And there's something about it. Amen. Somebody might want to talk about doctrine, talk about religion. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, there's an experience that's never at the mercy of an argument. I can remember when I first was saved. I remember it well. And I didn't know my Bible. I didn't know much of anything other than what I felt. And I know that I gave my life over to God. I know that He filled me with His Holy Spirit. And I know what I felt. And so when people go, well, that happened back then. No, it happened to me just last night. Well, no, you don't understand. I do understand because I know what I got. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to clap their hands. Somebody ought to be able to feel what I'm feeling. Amen. Hallelujah. There's something about it. Hallelujah. My mission today is to challenge this generation, whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you're middle-aged, it doesn't matter where you're at, but I need to challenge this generation because Peter said we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. I'll tell you what, when He saved you, He expects you to testify of His power and glory. Amen. Anybody ever been sick and been healed? Just raise your hand. Look at this. We got a testimony. Amen. I said, we've got a testimony. Anybody almost have an accident? Anybody have a tornado coming their way that jumped up over their house? Hallelujah. Anybody had a miracle? Anybody get a job promotion? Anybody lose one job and find a better job? God is real. Hallelujah. Amen. I know in the book of Mark, there was a demonic man who slept naked in the tombs. And he cut himself, and he scared people. And people tried to stay away from him as much as they could. But Jesus healed him, cast the demons out of him. They went into a herd of swine. They jumped over a cliff when he cast those devils out. And the very next day, people came by, and they're looking at somebody sitting down on a wall, completely clothed, and they said, Was this the man that was naked? Was this the man that was crazy? And they said, yes, but Jesus healed him. He had a testimony. And so he sought Jesus out. He really did. And he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus told him, go home and tell them the great things that happened to you, declaring what God has done. I want you to know we have a testimony. Amen. We can speak for ourselves. Amen. There's a lot of people that seen it and talked about it, but they can't live off of His miracle, but He can. He can tell people about it. We need to speak for ourselves. A lot of times we let we settle back for what mom has said, what dad has said, what the husband, what the wife says, what the children say. But I want you to know it isn't pastor. And I can't tell you how many times I told that testimony about Pastor Aaron. He's in an ambulance, and they're going to a house. A guy had a heart attack, him and his partner. They get to the house, and these people were a little bit well off, and they already had the doctor there at the house. And they pull up, and the doctor shakes his head, and he said, "He's dead. I'm going to go ahead and fill out the paperwork. He died at such and such time." And he says, "But since you're here, load him up in the back of the ambulance and take him to Detmer. They have a place there where they keep dead people. It's a cool place till someone from the funeral home can come and pick them up." And they said, "Okay." And they take off with this body in the back. And Aaron turns to the guy who was a Christian that was driving, and he says, "I feel like going back praying for him." And he said, "He's dead." And he said, "Well, I just feel it." So Aaron goes back, lays hands on him, prays for him. The guy sits straight up. "What are you doing to me? I've told that so many times because of what happened." And so when they get to the hospital, they call the wife, and the doctor's still there with her, and said, "Hey, this guy's alive." The doctor said, "It can't happen. It can't be." "Oh, yeah, he's alive, and he's mad. He thinks we messed with him." But I can't live off of Aaron's testimony. I got to have my own. Amen. Because that's what I feel. And I've told that many, many times. Amen. But I want you to know something. We got to speak for ourselves. Amen. Can't be the youth leader. We can't live off of someone else's blessing. Amen. We got to worship ourselves. We got to pray ourselves. We got to read God's word ourselves. Amen. Somebody say, "Preach it." Preach it. I'm going to. Okay, thank you. I remember as a youth growing up, when I was a teenager, one of my best friends, their dad raised coon dogs, and they would go coon hunting at night, and those dogs would get out and sniff around, and all of a sudden his dad would say, "Go get him, Blue." And that dog would just take off, and I mean, it was like sick 'em. And those dogs would begin to howl and bark, and next thing you know, there'd be a raccoon up the tree. Amen. And so I'm the same way. If you encourage me a little bit, amen, say, "Preach it, Blue." Amen. But I want you to know something. You got to touch God for yourself. You know, a lot of people, they just want to be popular. They want to be macho, all these different things. But to be a saint of God is to be a witness. Amen. When you take these peeps and these flowers and hand it to somebody and you tell them that God loves them, how do you know God loves me? Because God loves me. Amen. And you begin to tell them and begin to witness to them and begin to tell them your story. Amen. There's something about a red, hot, radical person. Amen. And sometimes I think that's the way I feel. I can talk about Jesus all by myself. And I remember I came home from the Navy. And Pastor Steve, I'd been in the Navy a couple years, and I'd never been saved. I grew up in a pastor's house. I went to the baptism, I think, 3 different times, stood in line to get baptized, and when it was my turn, I walked away. All my dad got mad. And he said, "Why'd you do that, Greg?" I said, "Well, when I get baptized, I want to be sold out to God. And really, I'm 16 years old, 15 years old, and I feel like I got a little living to do, Dad. Oh, he didn't like it, but that's the truth. That's what happened. And so about three times I walked away from that, but I came home on leave from the Navy, and God got a hold of my heart. Fact is, I remember my dad laid hands on me, and I fell to the floor, and every time I'd try to get up, it was almost like 40 minutes. Every time I'd get up, I'd fall back down, and I was speaking in tongues, and different things was happening to me, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew what I felt. Amen. And I remember when I got baptized, Brother Kenny, I thought, well, you know, I've been wet before. I've went swimming. I've been in all over the world. I've been in oceans and different things, and I'm going to get wet. But I remember going down and having the name applied, amen, when I went down, and I came up. I never felt so clean in all my life. It was an experience, and I was able to tell somebody what I felt, amen. And it just meant something, amen. And so I believe, and I really believe this with all of my heart, that God changes us. Now, I was a very proud young man, and I didn't want anybody to think ill of me. I didn't want anybody to make fun of me. I didn't want it, you know, and I guess I still have a little bit of that in me. And but I remember that, and I would never go. My dad used to get the square up at Piqua. There's this little square, and they got a statue up there, and they've got different things up there. And he would apply for that on a Friday night for 1 hour. We'd go up there and sing songs. Somebody get up there and preach, and there'd be a crowd, and the crowd wasn't there to receive the message. The crowd was there to make fun. And so, and I remember being half a block away before, back before I got saved, and isn't that your dad? Isn't that your, well, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. I was so ashamed, and I was embarrassed. But I want you to know, when God got a hold of me, my dad said, hey, we got the square this Friday. I want you to testify. And I went up there, and these people honking their horns, yelling at me. They knew who I was, because I was a wild man up there in Piqua. And a lot of people knew me. But I got up and I said how good God was. I told them how God knocked me down. I told them about the Spirit of God coming over me. Amen. And they made fun, and I said, hey, you can make fun if you want to. I had the microphone. I was talking. I was preaching. Amen. And I had just gotten saved. And I said, you can say what you want, but I know what I've got. Amen. And I want you to know that that's what we need to have. We need to have that down in our heart, a red hot spiritual awakening in our bodies. Amen. And a lot of times people don't understand, you know, God moves and works in mysterious ways. I know I was talking to Brother Kenny just last week, and I think it was either last week or the week before, he went down to a seminar in Cincinnati, him and his wife, and they had to go down there, and it had to do with construction. He owns a construction company, and he said he sat down with his wife, and there was a woman sitting next to him. He said all of a sudden God said, she's troubled. She's got problems. And you know what Kenny did? He said, well, I'm not going to do anything. You know, I don't want to get embarrassed here. No, Kenny turned to her and he says, your spirit's troubled. Is there something wrong? And she almost started crying. She said, one of my drivers killed a person this week that was walking across the street when they shouldn't have been walking across the street, and he was in a dump truck or whatever and hit this person and killed him. And Kenny said, let me pray with you. You talk about a witness. You talk about, let me speak for myself here. Let me tell you some of the stuff I've been through. Let me tell you what God's done for me. Amen. And there's something about that. Amen. About a couple weeks ago, I was at Troy Christian School, and my granddaughter, Chloe, she got up at Troy Christian School, and she was the speaker for the elementary worship service. And I was I mean, my chest was puffed out. I said, that's my granddaughter. And she and me and my wife was there. She did such a great job. I mean, she was anointed, and she was just great. And I'm talking about no half-hearted praise. I'm talking about giving it all to God. I'm talking about worshiping Him. I'm talking about praying to Him. I'm talking about giving it everything that we've got. You know what? We go to the ball field and we get all crazy and screaming and yelling and everything. And I know I've gotten 20 calls from Kirk in the last 2 weeks about Rushi's basketball team. And he calls me all the time, have you heard, have you? And I said, did you hear they just got beat? He said, no. And I said, no, I'm kidding. He said, I didn't think they could be beat. So, but, you know, we get excited about that. I don't know about you. I want to have a testimony. I want to be excited about God. I want to be able to tell somebody else about what Jesus is doing for me. Amen. I'm not ashamed because Jesus saves. He's real. Turn to somebody and say, you need to tell it yourself. Hallelujah. Let them know. Amen. I believe that God, we need to speak for ourselves. Amen. And not be ashamed. Jesus anoints this blind man's eyes. He spits in the dirt and makes some mud. And this guy takes a journey over to the Pool of Siloam and washes off. All of a sudden, he can see. He was blind from birth. A lot of people's questioning him on this matter and asking him things. And neighbors said, I don't think that's him. Yeah, that's him. Hey, that's me. I've lived here all my life. You know who I am. And how simple. Jesus made mud, anointed my eyes. He told me to go wash. And then they said, well, we need to take you to the Pharisees because it's a Sabbath. And Jews still didn't believe. And they called the parents. And they said, is this your boy? Yes. How was he healed? And they were afraid. Don't know. Don't know how he was healed. We know that this is our boy. We know he can see, but we don't know how. And what they said was, he's old enough. Let him speak for himself. This gets us off the hook. This doesn't get us kicked out of the temple. Amen. And so they said, he's old enough. Let him speak for himself. And they were feared because they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. He's old enough. They call the boy back and says, give God the praise, but this man Jesus is a sinner. And he says, whatever you do, don't tell people that Jesus did this for you. Trying to deal with a miracle. They wanted to put words in his mouth. Jesus is a sinner. They wanted to put words in his mouth. He's a pretender. He's a transgressor. Say that about him. Will you please? And don't give Jesus credit for the miracles. Or you're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. You know what? The Bible says it's better to obey God than man. Mom and Dad over here, you know, hey, let him speak. But there was something about it. This boy seen trees for the first time. He seen flowers. He seen mountains. He seen rivers. He seen streams. And even though the parents denied what to say, when to say it, but standing with the miracle, the blind man stands up. Come on. I said the blind man stands up. He clears his voice. And if he would have had a microphone, he said, here, let me say this. He says, I don't know. He looked at mommy and daddy. He looked at the council. He said, talking about Jesus, I don't know if he's a sinner. I don't know, but one thing that I do know, a while ago, I was blind. Yesterday, I was blind. Last year, I was blind. But now I see. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what I know. I was once blind, but now I can see. You know what? The school, the scientists, the government, they try to tell you what to say. Stand up and let everybody know that God is real. There's signs. There's miracles that didn't just stop with the early church. I remember talking about miracles to somebody I was working with. And there was a pastor in Troy. Fact is, at that time, it was the largest church in Miami County. And he told this man, he said, that stuff stopped back in the Bible. He said, we're living in a different dispensation. We're doing this. We're doing that. And he said, signs and miracles stopped with the early church. And he come up and knocked on my door on a Saturday morning, and I sat down and talked to him, and we argued back and forth. And finally, and he knew his Bible. I mean, this guy had a doctorate. Fact is, he had a doctorate. And he began to try to twist my words and twist the scriptures. And finally, I said, hey, stop. I almost said his name, but I'm not going to. He died, and God bless him. And he said, I said, I know one thing that you can't change around. I know one thing that you can't twist around. I know one thing that you can't interpret wrong. And that's the experience that I have with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what today, we need to have an experience, and we need to be able to say it ourselves. Amen. My children will remember this. It's been probably 14, 15 years ago. In fact, this Cheryl was the one that was getting real concerned about it. I had a growth behind my ear, and she would come over, and she would look at it, and she'd say, Dad, you need to go to the doctor. And I said, I'm okay. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger to the place where my ear was coming out like this. And so I finally went to the doctor. They cut it out, dug down in it, sent it off, and then they had a meeting with me at Upper Valley and said, you've got cancer. And I said, I don't think so. And doctor said, oh, yeah, we've got, here's the results. And so we're going to send you over to this other doctor and schedule you for chemo. I said, okay. So, and I don't know why, it just never bothered me. For some reason, and Cheryl was going crazy over it. And it just didn't bother me. And I don't know if it was just the faith that I had at that time, but I went ahead and went because my wife and Cheryl and the kids thought that would be the best thing to do. And so they scheduled me for a chemo treatment. And they said, we're going to dig in there one more time and send it off. And they sent it off and they said, we can't find the cancer. It's never grown back. Well, I got this thing on my head and I got this, that, and the other thing now. But and my wife will tell you, it didn't bother me a whole lot. It bothers me that I got to put a Band-Aid across my head and everybody looking at me. But other than that, it doesn't really bother me too much. But then speaking of Cheryl, I think she was 2 or 3 years old. And we was boiling water for some tea and had some company over. She went over to the stove, pushed a chair up. I don't know what she was doing, but she poured that hot, scalding water, it was boiling water, all the way down her body. I remember taking her shirt off, and the skin was coming off with the shirt. It was on about half your body, wasn't it? And we said, we got to get her to the hospital, got to do this, got to do that. And God just spoke to me and said, you got to pray for her. And I remember I had some oil, and I anointed her with oil and prayed over her. And, I mean, she was screaming, crying. All of a sudden, as soon as I prayed, she wanted to go play. Where was her doll baby, you know? I mean, automatically, the pain was gone. And it even looked like all of a sudden the whole thing looked different. And I think to this day, how big is your scar on there? Just not very, very small. And when she lifts her arm up sometimes, maybe coming out of the shower or whatever, she sees it and she begins to praise God because she knows what God did. Amen. There's something about that. There's something about that, what God has done. I remember my dad. He had tuberculosis, and then he got over it, and then he had other problems, and he had part of his lung removed, and he started losing weight, and he wouldn't go to the doctor. He said, I'm going to trust God for this healing. And finally, my mom calls me up. My dad was down to 110 pounds, and he couldn't even walk. I picked him up. I carried him out to the car. We went to the hospital. They put him in the hospital. The doctor came out and talked to me and my mother. And he says, it's not good. And he says, fact is, Mrs. Simmons, he said, I want you just to get a hold of the funeral. I'll never forget this. I want you to get a hold of the funeral home of your choice and make arrangements because he's only got a couple days to live if he lives that long. And I remember my mom breaking down crying. Of course, I had tears myself, but I said, Mom, God's a healer. And I said, I'm going to call Pastor Carnes. The Pastor Carnes that was here that preached, his father was my dad's, one of my dad's best friends. And there was another preacher out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. I called them both. They came. They laid hands on my dad. He got out of that hospital in 2 days. He began to gain his weight back. I seen it. And he lived another 20 years. Another 20 years. You know what? We got a testimony. You know, there's people out there that are of Satan. There's people out there that are of the devil. And they're not afraid to declare. A couple young men from Columbine, they had a little thing on the computer saying what they was going to do and how they was going to do it and that they was going to cause all this problem. They was going to bring pain, ruin, and misery to their school. And they did. They did. They spoke up. No one really listened. But I'm telling you what, if somebody like that can speak up, why can't you speak up and turn some lives around? Amen. I'm talking about turning lives around. Amen. 19 men, 2 years before 9/11, 19 men, I want you to think about this, declared, we will give ourselves up. We will die for this cause. And they went to flight school. They got flight manuals. They did all these things, 19 of them. And they were going to do it, and they were going to die for their God, for their purpose, for their thing. And, of course, we know that one of them crashed in Pennsylvania and didn't make it to hit a target. But two of them went to New York City and killed hundreds and hundreds of people. Another one hit the Pentagon. And they did this, amen, this misery, this darkness, this despair. And they trained for years, and they spoke up for what they believed in. Dear God, let us have a testimony. Dear God, let us speak for ourselves. Amen. Told out, two sold-out people can bring life, healing, come to church. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight. Somebody say amen. Two can put 10,000. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's time to speak it out. Amen. And it's time not to let the world tell us what to do. Amen. This boy said, you can call him a sinner if you want to. I don't think God works through sinners. And they kicked him out of the synagogue. But he wanted to let everybody know, I was blind, but now I see. There's something about a fresh praise as Matt comes to the piano. Something about a fresh anointing every day. It's time to speak for yourself. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to have a fresh anointing every day. We need to have a fresh praise on our lips every day. Hallelujah. It's time to speak for yourself. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, God's good. I'm going to ask Pastor Steve to come. And if you don't have a testimony when you leave this church today, come to this altar and say, God, do something in me. Use me. Let me have a testimony. Amen.